This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What if I told you I was in love with the chipmunk? And the guy who goes by Josh the Pinch? If I were you, liquid nice, be my lover. Shrew will meet me under the covers and teach me rule 69 at a rave. I need help with these feelings, in need of some advice you could say. Guess I'll email if I were you, show Gmail today.
Amazing.
Hurrah. Do you know what that was?
No. It was like a Ramblin' Man theme song, though.
That was set to the tune of, quote, my favorite song from a few episodes ago, Kodachrome by Paul Simon.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. I do love
Paul Simon. So if it sounded familiar, that's why.
Yeah. Good. It didn't to me.
Big Man Billy here from England. Amir mentioned a while ago that Kodachrome by Paul Simon is his favorite song, so I put together this little ditty. Nothing to plug. I just hope my neighbors didn't hear me recording this.
Nice.
That was pretty good, yeah. Billy. Why are you... Don't be shy.
Right. Well, maybe the neighbors should hear the finished version, but like recording it does probably seem a little weird because, you know, you're just yelling into a microphone while you're hearing the music, so...
I thought he was like playing and singing at the same time. Maybe I'm wrong though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he recorded.
Billy, let us know. I'd love to see the behind the music style doc.
We want to see how the sausage was made.
Grabbing his thigh. Oh,
and that's not the only sausage I'm talking about.
Lighten up, pal. Cheers from England is all.
Let's go Hammers.
This is Thanksgiving week, but there's no Thanksgiving in England. You know why?
Why? Because they didn't have the first meal with the Native Americans.
That's right.
Thanksgiving
the pilgrims didn't have the meal with the Indians and the turkeys there. They actually fled England.
Right.
So it's actually a day of mourning over there. They lost their like 100 best pilgrims.
Thanksgiving is a big old fuck you. It's a second fucking 4th of July to those Brits.
That's right.
Every American holiday is essentially flipping off the Queen because it's like we did our own shit. Over here.
Not necessarily.
We actually destroyed the Native Americans' culture over here. That was us.
So don't take credit for that. So does that mean the pilgrims had British accents?
I don't know, Governor. You tell me.
That's really cool. What was that?
My impression of a pilgrim, mate.
Bro. That's really good. Yeah. So like for the first 100 years... Americans should have had British accents, really.
Yeah, but also what was a British accent hundreds of years ago?
I bet
it was kind of like a Boston accent back then.
Oh, that's cool. So like people in England just talked like Americans, and then they became British after the Americans left.
Yeah. Right.
Or maybe everyone that talks like an American left. That's why they're like, we got to get out of here. Everyone is here like, hey, oh, how do you do? How do you do? Like, we got to fucking
We should
leave.
Be fucking historians. I feel like we have theories that we could go to bat and try to prove if we could be, if we had access to like books
accents.
On tape. That access to accents of books on tape that the historians are obviously hoarding to themselves.
Yeah, the problem is you can't really describe an accent, and there wasn't any like audio before like 19 whatever, 04 or some shit. Mm-hmm. That like fucking Mozart shit. This is me at my defending my dissertation.
defending the fact that you didn't make a dissertation.
The best we can do is this letter that a pilgrim wrote that said, people here talk funny. And we just can only assume what that means.
Yeah.
It must have been so sucks to be on the fucking Mayflower. It's cold, the food is not great, so much so that you look forward to eating a turkey. And then when you land, everyone talks different. Like, what do you have to be thankful for if that's your life? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. How'd you get to there from, like, did pilgrims have accents? I feel like...
You I don't just love like, pumpkin pie. What's your favorite side? Do you have what marshmallows on sweet potato casserole? Yeah, build your favorite Thanksgiving plate. White meat gotta go. You know what I mean?
Right. The food is not right on Thanksgiving.
Cranberry sauce is nos. As in, like, I don't need that tart sort of sour gummy on my dry ass tummy. So I would rather eat a
what
ham.
Do you mean it is nos in terms like you said it is nos, which then you said means that you don't need it on your gums or tummy.
Think you would,
yeah.
I didn't think you would.
You said cranberry sauce is nos.
Yeah, like
meaning I yeah. That's not the meaning of nos.
No. Yeah. For whatever reason I felt like I could meander my way through that sentence. Stick the landing.
Yeah. Well, you could have said cranberry sauce makes me nauseous.
And don't forget the nosh.
Cranberry sauce is not much of a nosh. That's kind of like, that's another one.
You did a goat show episode for the greatest, was it Thanksgiving side or Thanksgiving food of all time?
I guess we did side. I think we did do side. And what I don't even remember what we said because I think we just went in on Thanksgiving not being that good.
As a holiday or as a food holiday?
As a food holiday. As a just holiday, I think it's fine.
It's still not no Christmas perfect. For you.
Yeah.
I like Thanksgiving more than Christmas. One, because Jews get to celebrate, so it's like a fully American thing. Yeah. And two, there's no religious implication whatsoever. It's literally just a big meal and then football on in the background, which is how I like to spend my Thursdays anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess that is nice. But to me, Thanksgiving, it's so much about the meal and the prep and the cleaning. It's a lot of job to be had. Christmas is nice because it's like so much of the work is done pre-Christmas. And then the day is just like open presents and chill, you know?
But what I don't like about Christmas is that it comes sort of towards the end of this holiday season where I feel like I'm holidayed out. Like various days have come and gone. The weather is now much, much colder. It's like Thanksgiving sort of kicks it off. So I'm not quite sick of my family yet.
I suppose, that's fair. That makes sense.
By Christmas time, I'm excited for Christmas to be over. And then it's like still another week for New Year's. Christmas should be December 30th or something. There's no need to have like a December 28th. What's going on the 28th of December? Let alone the 29th.
I like that people just give you kind of, I mean, not everyone gets that. That's just something that we used to always get at like College Humor because we followed a school schedule. It's like school's not in session, so you guys don't really have to come into work from Christmas. Like basically we get off on like the 20th until the 4th. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. you're saying other people have real jobs or something?
Yeah, I think other people get like the 24th off. And then go back to work on the 26th. And then they get the
first. But that's my mom's birthday.
Yeah.
I can't work on that day. And then on the 29th, are they working? Or?
Yeah, we have an amazing schedule because we carried that College Humor schedule over to HeadGum. So we just, don't have
to. And we're also sort of on the holiday schedule. So like at a certain point, like the town shuts down on Halloween and opens up after President's Day. Like no one is reading your script in November.
No one's reading our script kind of regardless, I would say.
Yeah, because of who we are and what we've done. Yeah, we're cool. Yeah, like a lot of people have heat in this business.
Yeah.
We emanate cool energy. We're cold. We're ice cold, actually.
Yeah. We're a black hole. A black cold.
That's funny. All right, so we asked people...
You sad?
Through. No, I'm okay. I'm just, I thought there would be more than this at this point. Almost 40.
Yeah.
Let's do our fucking podcast. This is,
yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this for over 500 times. This is If I Were You.
Yeah, the only advice
radio podcast. Show gets, that people literally can't prevent you, us right? from recording.
Right.
Because like if we
this is the one thing they can't take away
yes,
from us.
Because we could just do it. I could press a button and oh my god, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? I just got an email from Fox that says don't record your podcast.
That's tacky.
They passed on my pod
on the Zoom.
They're not even paying for it in the Zoom. They the said Zoom that they would have to talk about it. Yeah, and that was that ultimately hurts. Not a fit. Who cares? I just got one from fucking Adult Swim. I really just got an email from Adult Swim that said they're also passing on the podcast. I didn't even mention to them.
Not even like punting? Not even just saying like
they don't even want us to rewrite it.
No.
Wow. They've ultimately made a decision, and their decision is to not go forward with the project.
Not moving forward. And they didn't give a reason? Or did
no,
they
no
say,
reason. And they didn't even do the polite like, but they loved the guys. They didn't even love the guys.
Love the guys, but this is the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But we have something similar.
Yeah, they don't have anything but similar. No, is the just, fucked up part.
A pass, a hard yeah. pass. Yes. Closing the door.
It's a hard pass and it's hard to hear. Yeah. It's hard to hear it. But yeah, this is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web. Hosted by us. They can't take that away from us, even though Correct. They're trying. We asked for lightning round questions. We're recording this on Thanksgiving during the dinner. There's a full meal happening right behind us and we're ignoring our family.
I'll help clean in a moment, Aunt.
Are your Thanksgiving dinners trending earlier and earlier to the point where it's like, this is, let's just call it a lunch. It's 2:15. You invited us.
Yeah, we're meeting at three yeah. tomorrow, but it's always been around 3 or 4. It's always been on the earlier side for my family.
I feel like I've gone from like 5-ish dinners to 4-ish to 3. And it's like, okay, literally one more minute. We're calling this a lunch. Let's just call it what it is. It's a lunch. I don't know what to tell you.
It is a lunch. It is a lunch.
It's a lunch into dinner. But then are you there till like 7:30, 8, 9 p.m.?
Yeah, usually I'll be there till like 8 or 9 for sure.
At least. With the Lions game on the tube and a pie in my thigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Jill's family eats all day. Like they cook a lot. There's like there's appetizers, there's dinner, there's dessert, there's coffee. Yeah. There's like there's always something happening. My family was like show up at 1, all the food is out. At 2, all the food is gone at 3:30.
Yeah.
There's dessert that was out during dinner, and you can pick at that. But it's like...
and it's still light everyone's, out.
Yeah, people are going home 4 or 5, which I kind of dig. That's kind of nice. You know, you get your day back.
And then you get your Black Friday specials on the following day.
I think maybe that's my other problem with Thanksgiving, is like it's a day for extended family and friends, which is good, but... it becomes a lot of small talk and a lot of mingling. Christmas is like, that's your immediate family, dog. That's whoever you wake up in the house with. That's people you're just hanging out with all day.
It's not the same
just
humans.
Close buddies. I guess you could do like a Christmas Eve thing with family, but I feel like that's a lot more of a party. That's like an evening time thing. You're drinking, you're singing carols. It's a lot more merry. Thanksgiving is a daytime, it's a bris with a turkey.
You're cutting off a turkey's dick, so to speak. And then this year, Thanksgiving goes straight into Hanukkah. Zero time off. Yeah, Thursday, Thanksgiving, Sunday, Hanukkah for 8 days.
I was thinking about getting Jillian the gift of me having a haircut for Hanukkah. What do you think about
that? Arrive on a Sunday having had a snip.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
A real life snip, or like, you can't tell, it's sort of trimmed the edges.
No, like a full on, like
short.
Rewind it back to pre-pandemic.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow, a March 2020 look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you ready for it? Do you want it? Does she want it?
She doesn't ever pressure me to change anything about my appearance. You know, like when I have a huge beard, she's not gonna be like, you should shave. But like I know
she can think it.
Yeah, I can sense it. We have that kind of connection. She wants me to get the haircut because sometimes, I don't know, there's just like times when it comes up where I like mention haircut, or she sees an old photo of me with shorter hair and she,
yeah,
she's kind of more enamored with that. Like I say something about maybe I'll get a haircut and her eyes brighten. So I know she wants it.
But you have to have a haircut that fits your new physique, because now you have sort of like a thicker body that matches your longer hair.
Really?
Like, you can't have just like a haircut and then also just a thicker body, because last time you had a haircut, you were a skinnier guy.
Do you think that I'm thicker as in like I'm more yoked?
I think you have like more like beef strength now than you did like pre-pandemic.
Mass. You think I'm stronger? Mass. You think I got gains during the pandemic?
Yeah, I would say you gained 10 to 15 pounds. I don't know if that's true though.
It is true since, I mean, I don't know if it was all during the pandemic. I went down to a very lean 158.
Less than me.
Less, yeah. That was for my wedding. And then I think I went up to like 165. Maybe I'm at 174 now.
Interesting.
So maybe it is 20 pounds.
Yeah. So you're getting a haircut that you had when you were 158-ish, and now you're like 178-ish.
Right. So maybe I should just leave the long hair.
Okay, I didn't try to count.
I'll get her a fucking bracelet. You ruined Jill's Hanukkah.
I'll get her a fucking latke. A fucking potato pancake then.
A latke locket.
Or you can shed the weight and get the haircut. Be the wedding man you always promised to her that you'd be going forward.
The weight is good though. I like having the weight. The weight's
you
nice.
Like being thicker.
Yeah, I want the beef.
Okay, speaking of beef, one of our first questions that we received on Twitter was from Shane My Sweeney. Do you like brie?
Yes.
Do you like brie?
Yeah, I do.
That sweaty, sweaty cheese, the sort of centerpiece of every charcuterie, is this chalky wheel that's melting before our very eyes. Yeah.
You
with
don't
a,
need
knife
a knife
that you
just
don't
need
see anywhere.
A fucking cracker with some structure on it. And that's all you need for the brie. There's
you know, no, head gum? No this reason. Is cheese yeah. gum.
That's
it's a
right.
sour, creamy gum.
It's a great cheese. I usually like, it's a little bit of a mild cheese. I like a more pungent cheese. I like a stronger cheese. But you really, no cheese is bad in my eyes.
I'm pretty discerning with my cheese. I don't love a lot of cheeses.
You don't
I'm not
like
a huge
cheese
guy.
If you see a cheese board, are you excited or does that do nothing for you?
It does very little for me. I'm into the meat and I'm mostly into the bread. And then like I'll add cheese to that. But I'm not like grabbing a piece of cheese and just eating the cheese.
Cool. Yeah, I love cheese.
Do you like cottage cheese? Like would you eat a bowl of cottage cheese?
I don't think so. I don't think I would do that. It would. Yeah. I guess it depend what was in it. But I don't think I've ever had
a bowl of cottage.
No, I have not. And I actually think I might dislike it. I'm not big on the mushy, lumpy texture stuff.
Yeah. Oatmeal? You're into oatmeal, though.
I do like oatmeal.
Okay, what about this? Have you ever purchased brie?
Yes.
Like, you go out of your way to seek out brie. You're not just, if it's at a party, I'll have some.
No, I think if I'm like, I think I see a sandwich with brie on it, I'm not opposed to it. I feel like I've sought that out or like seen a sandwich with that as an ingredient, been like, that'll be good. And I've definitely bought brie in an effort to build a good cheese board. But I don't think I've like gone to the, I've never opened my eyes and been like, you know what? I need some fucking brie today. Today is a brie day. I'm feeling
brie today. Gone tomorrow. Give
gone
me that
out,
brie.
Got brie.
Yeah,
I don't think I really do that with any cheese, though.
I'm fine on brie. I mean, just like any other cheese. I'd say the only cheese I like on a cheese board is cheese that tastes like meat, like a smoked Gouda, where it's like salty, meaty, almost a salami, but it's
that's
a cheese.
Good. Yeah. What about a crispy Parmesan?
Nah, not into it. Dane Thompson asks, Jake, how are you gonna compete this Thanksgiving when your sister just appeared on the best show on television, Joe Parra Talks With You?
Wow, yeah, that's true. That is
What's
true.
What's the story there?
Eliza Hurwitz is a comedian. You should check her out in New York City because she's great. I go to all of her shows. And she was on the latest episode of Joe Parra Talks with You, a show on Adult Swim. She played a magician.
Wow. Is she like auditioning for that stuff, or is it like the comedy scene just scooped her up because they knew about her and wanted her to be on the show?
Yeah, I think she's like, she knows a bunch of people on that show. I believe they like wrote the part and asked her to do it because she's like on shows with all of the alt comedians in that world. The Joe Firestones, the Joe Paras, et cetera. I see.
So if you're funny enough, IRL, they'll give you the job. They'll give you the role.
Right. Imagine if like Gabrus wrote a TV show and he didn't hate you. He would just be like, oh, I wrote this part that's perfect for you.
Yeah. Well, it would probably be the other way around, like how we put him in Lonely and Horny.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was exactly like that.
That's cool. So are you going to bring up what, like NADPOD or live shows at Thanksgiving? Like, how's your podcast doing?
I don't know. Figurines. Yeah, I could bring up the fact that I paint little minis to my dad, and he might be happy with that. But I feel like it'd be probably ultimately better for me to just shit on Joe Parra or like complain about the show, say that it wasn't that good, yada, yada. So I'll sort of just like, I'll detract because when I make people feel small, I am tall. I stand on their shoulders. They are lesser than, I am greater than. So that's kind of the vibe. I also do that when it comes to like cooking, because like I'll just say the meal is bad. I'll complain. I'll say my bed's uncomfortable. I'll just make everyone feel low. So I feel so
Shorty
high
got low, 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 feel low, low, low.
Yeah, no, I really don't like
your show.
Boots I can't compete
with your fur.
I watched the episode. It was great, and she did great in it. Everyone should check it out.
I want to see that.
I have a question from Sansa K.
Okay.
Do either of you think that you could beat Dwayne The Rock Johnson in a fight on your own under these conditions?
Ooh.
His arms are tied in front of his back. You are equipped with your toothbrush of choice, and the setting is Amir's house.
Interesting. So it's sort of The Rock kicking us. Or trying to, and we can sort of stab his thighs with a toothbrush if necessary.
Yeah, so he's got his arms tied. They said in front of his back, though. Do you think that means, like, in front
behind
of his
back?
That means behind arms behind his back. Because if they're in front of his back, I mean, game over. He can fucking arm, raise it above. So he basically can't use his arms.
Yep. Does he skip leg day? I feel like he's not that thick down there.
They look like fucking stallion legs. He looks like he's built like a horse.
He's like thick. He is big. He has good
mass.
One
of his quads is bigger than your waist. Absolutely.
But like, I don't know if
he has a size 32 quad.
Like, could he lunge? Or like, is he more like a guy that skips leg day?
He could lunge. He doesn't skip leg day. You follow him on Instagram? He fucking like...
Yeah. I see a lot of his cheat day posts, and it makes me think like maybe... If like you want to, like my cheat meal is not even like anything because like
he
I
like
don't
brings an elliptical to Japan when he goes there. He like flies a gym into his hotel room. That's how hard he trains.
Damn.
He wakes up at 3 and I think he does lunges. I think
I
he does
tennis
squats.
Today.
You play tennis once a week. Yeah. You play tennis one time a week.
Yeah,
you actually have a pretty bad diet and a bad attitude, and you don't own a toothbrush, so I don't even know what you're going to use.
I have a floss.
Yeah, I mean, he could even with. I mean, if he has his legs, it's still game over because he's like 6'5". He has more reach with his legs than we do with our arms.
I think if it's 2-on-1, we could probably tackle him. If it's just me versus him, I don't like my chances. Obviously, unless he skipped leg day.
He didn't skip leg day. Stop thinking he might have skipped leg day. He would kick you in the throat. Even if he didn't kick you, if he just ran at you in full force, he could mow you down. Imagine you take a step towards the rock. You take a step toward Dwayne Johnson with a toothbrush.
Toothbrush.
It's like vibrating with your little quip. All right, Dwayne, you're in for it now. Oh no! Oh no! You're charging me. He's the Brahma Bull, baby. I don't think you fucking stand up to that.
But the setting is my house.
Right. What does that do? That he's going to destroy your house afterwards. A familiar, like, I don't think we could beat Dwayne, even if he had his arms behind his back and we had a baseball bat. I think he would still mow us down.
We could hit him with a baseball bat.
I think
he would kick. Yeah.
He would dodge us.
If it was two of us, though, like, he'd kick the shit out of one of us, break our rib cage, and then the other one would be, like, swinging as hard as it could at his head with a baseball bat.
Right. But if you hesitate, even for a second. So, like, if we have two of us, we each have a bat. You take one step towards him holding the bat. He just charges at you. You're not ready for that. You thought that he would maybe cower or hesitate, but he doesn't do that. He's decisive. He has decisive action. He just
and
runs.
And he didn't skip like that, yeah.
You trip over your coffee table. You fall back. The bat falls out of your hand. He just stomps you in the head with one swift motion. I'm trying to swing. I maybe get one fucking swing, and I hit him in the back or I hit him in the head. His adrenaline is pumping. He turns, he looks at me, he raises the people's eyebrow, and I just shake my head like, I didn't mean to hit you. I didn't mean to hit you, Dwayne. And then he just fucking kicks me in the teeth, and it's over. I don't think...
It'd be funny to like have us plan for 30 minutes about like how do we attack him from opposite sides and like what our strategy is. You get hit, I'm the one hitting with the baseball. And then it's like, all right, go. And then he just fucking kicks one of us to death instantly. No.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now it's one-on-one right away.
Two of us together could maybe do it if it all went perfect. But I think I trust his planning more. He takes one of us out instantly. Yeah. Game over. Yeah. Game over for the other one.
Okay, so let's add a third person.
Me, you. It would have to be Billy.
Okay, you think three of us can take him with his arms? I mean, at a certain point, if he could just kick us to be almost dead, if not broken, then he could just do that one at a time. It almost doesn't matter how many of us there are.
Well, I think three actually does it, because three, he just kicks me in the stomach really fast, takes me out. But as soon as he does that, he's got two guys on him with bats.
Do we have, we each have a bat? We don't have one bat for three people.
I think you have to, because otherwise he'll take the guy with the bat out and the other two guys are done. You need to have the bats.
Okay, I have a bat. Billy has a bat. You have a fucking toothbrush.
Right, so he would actually take... So I might survive because he would take you out because you're a bigger threat.
He should really take Billy out first, yeah. He should save his strength.
Right.
Like, when he's weaker, he should take us.
Yeah, that's true. And we would be fucked if he took Billy out first. And actually, knowing Dwayne, that's probably what he would do. He would take the Billy out the strongest, because I do think he beats Billy one-on-one, even with Billy having a bat and The Rock's hands are tied behind his back, and it's at your house. I think he takes out Billy, and then if we only have a bat and a toothbrush, then we're fucked, because he can definitely take us out one at a time.
Have you seen Red Notice?
No.
Okay. I think I haven't seen it either, but it's always funny to me when he's like, I have some amazing news to share with you guys. It's the number one movie on Netflix. And I'm like, The Rock, obviously. It's fucking you. You like, it's cool for you because you're him. But like, I always expected it to be the number one movie. That's why Netflix gave it to you.
That's not
You don't have to express gratitude for that, Rock. To save your mana. Like, you're the biggest movie star in the world. It's also not an honor that you're the sexiest person. Like, I also sort of expected that too, The Rock.
No success you have is a surprise
to me. Exactly.
Until you run for president and don't win, I won't be surprised.
All right, let's take a break, answer some more questions on the other side of these massages.
Yeah.
If you smell.
La 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 la.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back.
Yo, yo.
All right, no time for unsolicited advice. We have too many questions to get through.
Yeah, we have not gotten through very many. We spent a lot of time talking about The Rock.
Yes, I still think three of us could take him down with two baseball bats and a pool cue and a toothbrush.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't attack Billy first.
As long as he skips leg day. What Succession character are you both most like, says Andavant.
Hmm. Oh. Roman, probably.
It's tough. Yeah, Roman is the biggest sort of like sarcastic turd troll.
Yeah.
So I'll give me Roman, and you can be, I don't know, fucking Logan's assistant that's probably blowing him.
That's not bad. I wanted to talk to you about something because I still like Succession, but I think the last two I actually have a problem with the last three episodes, if I can be quite frank.
Okay, I'm caught up, including on the character Frank.
Okay, good.
And I love every episode. So what's your beef?
Okay, well, my big beef with the episode from 3 weeks ago and the episode from 2 weeks ago. That would be the episode where all of the kids gather in Kendall's place to talk about who's going to join him. Okay. Succession spoilers abound ahead.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But like, you really got to watch it.
You can skip ahead, but you might as well turn off this week's episode because I feel like I'm going to be talking about this for a long time. Okay. So that episode, and then also the episode with the with like the address, the big like keynote, the
the one where he has a UTI and he's going kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I've the same gripe with both of those two episodes, and that gripe is that nothing happens the entire time. Everyone ends up the exact same place that the episode started. It spins its wheels for an hour.
The end is, you end up at the same place, but I would still say things happened.
I think things happened, but it did not need to be an entire episode. I think that basically what is happening to Succession now is it feels like executives at HBO said this show needs to last for 10 years. And the writers were like, okay, so whatever we thought was going to happen in the middle of season three needs to now happen at the end of season three. Like what we thought season three was going to be about actually has to be what season three and four is about now. That's my theory. It feels like they're vamping. It just feels like Kendall, they're making it stretch.
Yeah, which is what they had to do during that big keynote address.
Right. And it was
where
just
they were waiting for things to get done.
That was just the same joke over and over. It was just like someone's talking, but they have to vamp. It happened to Frank 3 times. Then Jerry had to do it.
showed the video.
Yeah, it just kept on being the same joke, and it was always like, are they gonna? Can we get a deal, or are we going to a vote? And it just goes back and forth. Deal, vote,
right.
Deal, vote, no deal, vote, whatever. But
there were things happening in the background that were changing. Like the president is no longer going to be president. And then they had to choose a new president. They had a new candidate. Now there's a new candidate. So there is some forward story movement.
Yeah, but I think all of that stuff could have happened. These episodes really stretched to be an hour while doing the same thing over and over. The fact that whole entire thing took place throughout basically real time at that conference, I thought was a little much. I still love the show. I still loved it. It's fun to watch.
Even them killing time is good. Yeah, and the writing is fun.
But it's like, it's like Game of Thrones to me a little bit. I'm starting to see how the, I feel like I see the puppet strings a little bit.
Right.
Lastly, this is my bigger gripe, because I think it's going to be a season-long thing.
Okay.
I feel like the show is unique and creative enough that they don't need to make this new presidential candidate that they're going to back Trump, because that's just what it is.
Well, he's not quite Trump, because he's like young and sexy and funny.
Okay. I think that the idea is that it's the same. It's like, this guy is a bad guy he's an autocrat who we don't know if we should back, but everybody's like, oh no, he's not going to win. Let's just back him. And it's like, I just can see what their intent is. I just don't want, Succession's too good to make it about Trump.
Yeah. And I think Trump is almost the guy that's in power now, the one that's like leaving. And then this new guy is sort of younger and funnier and hipper and kind of like an edge. He's like a Republican Beto O'Rourke or something.
I hope, I mean,
young,
I guess,
and hip and also conservative.
I hope you're right, but it definitely feels like the theme of it is this guy's actually going to be a really bad, fucked up president, and we're going to help put him in office. And I think that's like what the vibe was with Fox and Trump.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think like the whole show started at the beginning of the Trump, right? Like that was like 4 or 5 years ago. Now this is theoretically the next president.
Maybe. I just wanted to do its own thing. I don't like when Succession is like a reflection of something that I already know is going on.
Yeah, but it's always been kind of the Fox News of the fictional world.
Yeah, but it was more fun when it was just about who's going to take over the company, not about like, oh, what if we back a president who's actually bad for the world? I don't care.
Right.
I just don't care about that.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a big part of the end of the... I mean, we're already on like an episode 6 or 7 of the third season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also this lawsuit that's happening, and like, will Tom go to jail?
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Will Greg be in trouble? Yeah,
that's the kind of thing that I want to see. I want this stuff to happen.
I mean, Tom's journey is pretty insane too. Like him agreeing to take on all these crimes and meeting with Kendall and talking to his wife and breaking down. His journey has been very unique and forward moving.
Yeah,
love, and not apolitical.
Love Tom. I love Tom. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, there's enough for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I still love the show. I just have a gripe with the last 3 episodes, but it clearly can do no wrong for you, and that's...
Oh, yeah, no, it's still batting 1,000 in mine eyes, of course. Although every TV show, you know, has those episodes where not a lot happened because they had to make 10 episodes that season.
Yeah, it just feels like it's been 3 episodes in a row for this show.
Yeah, hopefully they kick it up a notch. Usually towards the end of the season, that's when it's like shit starts to get real.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Let's see here. So we're both Roman. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think it would, I would have to say so.
Here's a question about Secret Santa. And if one of us got Jeff, what would we give him? That was from Chilton from Canada.
Jeff would be a very easy person to shop for, 'cause I feel like I know everything he likes, and you could get him a very good gag gift pretty easily.
Yeah, would you go gag or would you go norm?
Gag. I would 100% go gag. I think I'd get him
to go gag.
Like a really stupid watch or something for something to sell in Rodney's closet.
Yeah, or frame, so something gag, but in the world of
him,
real
of Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
In Jeff's world, something. Also, he's going to be living in New York City for 2 months, so maybe I could get him something there.
Right. So you get him a silly hat, not like a Carhartt beanie or something.
Exactly. I'd get him a silly hat.
Well, don't take my fucking gift idea, because I thought of silly hat.
What are you going to get him? Because I already got him the silly hat.
Well, he delivers food to my door that I often just don't realize is there and rots overnight. So maybe I'll get him like a trash can. So next time he orders me food, right, he can just order directly to a trash can and not like that's sitting on my stoop.
He got you a Yoshinoya beef bowl. Is that what he got you?
Yeah. Most recently he ordered me not Guy Fieri. Some sponsored Postmates, maybe it was Guy Fieri, like wings at Wingstop with fries. And it just stood on my outside of my door for
while you were in New
18
York
18 hours. No, it was while I was home, but they didn't ring the doorbell, so they just left it on my stoop. Just stayed there overnight, rotted. Animals got into it. I wake up and there's just garbage all over my front, like, stair area.
I'm so glad I guess he knows my address now, actually. He's been over, but he hasn't attacked me in that way.
Yeah, so you'll get him a silly hat and I'd give him a garbage can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jenna asks, do you miss living close to each other? Are you happier in your respective locations?
Whoa. I don't even think about where people live because I only see people on Zoom. Like, I see you more often than I see my friends that live in Santa Monica or something like that.
Mm, yeah.
Because we're like Zooming every single day. And it's not like I'm going to a lot of bars on the weekend or restaurants or parties. That's so right. The pandemic has basically made it feel like we're closer than ever.
Yeah, but I feel like I definitely see you more now. It's interesting because pre-pandemic, we were not living together and nobody Zoomed. I didn't have any like face-to-face.
Like, it was hard. It was you had to fly out to podcast.
Yeah, but and like throughout the week, I would just, you know, not see you. Like, we didn't have company
FaceTime
meetings on video. And then with the whole pandemic, we started doing that.
Yeah. Remember when it was like really hard to set up like a company meeting? It's like, oh, you got to set up this wide camera and everyone's in frame and nobody can hear each other. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's together, but still has to hop on a Zoom on their laptops.
Yeah, it's weird. I think actually I'm gonna make a push, an internal company push for no more Zooms ever. What do you think about that?
That's going to be hard because we still can't really all be in the same room at the
which
same
is ultimately
time.
Fine. We never did it before.
Yeah, but we were working in the same out of the same office mostly.
What about that year that I lived in, actually 2 years, where I lived in New York City and you lived in Los Angeles?
That was 2 years before the pandemic?
And I moved in February of 20... Oh, wait, maybe it was 2019, actually.
Yeah, it feels fairly recent.
Yeah, it was December of 2018, actually. Okay, so...
So most of your New York has been pandemic.
No, year and a half. A year and a half was no pandemic.
Yeah, less.
A year
a little
and two
less.
Months. Yeah.
But now you're coming up on the
more time,
2 year mark. Yeah, more right. time so in the pandemic.
More time now. In the pandemic than not. Interesting. But yeah, we got it done. Everything was fine. We didn't
Yeah,
need
did we
to
do phone
it.
Calls? How did we
I don't think so.
Slack? I don't remember 2019.
Yeah, we maybe did... I think we just did Slack, man. I think we just did Slack.
Which is why I'm going to make an urge for us to be off Slack, too.
We should just do phoners. Why does everyone have to see my face all the time?
I don't know. I've got an office line.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get... Do you have a landline at your house?
No, but I think I would get a lot of work done, actually, if I could, rather than FaceTime, if I could just like... If I had an office, I had a speakerphone...
Oh,
I just press the button and there's a voice talking to me on speaker and I could
That's
pontificate,
cool.
talk out loud, pace around.
Kind of like a cool assistant. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hold my calls style.
That's the life I need. Hold my calls. Somebody says, Amir is on line two. I say, tell him I'm at lunch.
Are you?
They say, no. They're like, he says it's urgent. And I'm like, God damn it. All right, put him through. And then I say, what is it? Yeah. And then we talk. And then we hash it out. We get whatever we need to done. And it's all finished in a 25-minute phoner.
You just been watching Mad Men, so you sort of want to live in that world again.
I'd also like to be having an affair.
You commute to Manhattan during the weeks. Sometimes you spend a night or two in the city because you're working late and you had clams for lunch.
I got trashed at noon.
I can't stress how many clams and martinis I had at 1 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, Don Draper must have constantly had diarrhea. So
that's a good tweet. If you ever come back.
Yeah.
C-Note just weighs in. If you guys don't answer every question posed, it'll be another turdy for Blumenfeld.
That's actually kind of true. So let's try to get through some of these. Because you called for the lightning round Q&A and you knew we didn't have time. It's a long con on the fans.
Our boy Al Jaleel asked us a question.
Ooh, love Al. What's he say?
He said, would y'all ever consider doing dramatic or non-comedic films?
I would consider it. I definitely consider it.
Do you consider NADPOD a comedy, or is it just fantasy and thus, because it's so out there and fake, it is funny?
I would consider
it. Like, are you guys trying
comedy.
To make jokes?
Yeah, we're making jokes.
But you're also, most of all, you want to serve like the story above the comedy.
I mean, I think it's almost, I guess, probably story over comedy. But it is a comic story that has powerful, heartfelt moments.
Yeah.
There are moments we take seriously. And a lot of the time, we're doing bits.
Is all D&D in general mostly comedy slanting, or like there are people who get together for 6 hours and they just tell a story without laughter? It's like, that was cool, that was powerful, like crazy shit happened and now we're out of here.
I think there's definitely an aspect to it that is just like, it's almost like a video game. You're solving a dungeon puzzle and people have their abilities. It gets super crunchy. You're playing on a play mat. There's definitely people that take it seriously and are not having fun. And then there are even like D&D shows that are pretty dry storytelling, or not even dry storytelling, but dramatic storytelling.
Would you like to do that?
I don't think I would be able to do that because I don't think I'm a good enough Dungeons and Dragons player.
Even after 2 years of practice?
I'm better
Maybe
than
3 years at this point?
Yeah, I'm better than most people. But I think what I excel at is the improv and the character and the story part of it. So if I was just doing like... I guess if I was just doing straight up dramatic role play, I could probably do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to do like drama. I don't know how to act dramatically. I don't know what to write dramatically. Like that's the hard part for me, is like, all right, don't be funny and tell an interesting story. It's like, that's all I know is how to be funny. I'm not going to like write an interesting tale about two friends that occasionally a joke might pop up. Is there a movie with no jokes at all?
Yeah. A movie with no jokes? There must be. Moneyball? World War Z doesn't have any jokes.
Can I Google search that? What is a movie without any jokes? Like a movie so sad there's no jokes. Like, is there a joke in Schindler's List?
I don't know. Because you might want people to warm to some characters. There must be some kind of levity in certain moments.
Somebody asked on Reddit 3 years ago, can you name any movie that has no jokes and is completely serious from beginning to end?
Tree of Life.
And so, there's some very funny answers here.
What do we got?
If I recall correctly, Valhalla Rising. Valhalla. The Passion of the Christ.
That, I believe.
Dunkirk, ?
Possible.
Prisoners is pretty dark all the way through, but there's a few lighthearted scenes with a joke or two in the middle.
Well, then why even answer? Why even answer? Someone says, are there any movies with no jokes? There's a bunch of answers. Then someone says, Prisoners is pretty dark, but has a few jokes.
Somebody recommended The Road. And I just the fucking, the poster for this film looks like it's offensively devoid of comedy. It's Viggo Mortensen in a hooded jacket, soaking wet, covered in dirt, holding a little boy who's also really sad looking. It's almost in black and white, but not quite. It's so muted, this poster.
Sepia.
There's no way there's a joke in The Road.
I could have, you would. Oh, and also Winter's Bone.
You're saying you couldn't write Winter's Bone?
I think I could direct a non-comedy. I feel like that's essentially what I did with Lonely and Horny, was I took a comedy and I directed it as if it were a drama. Or at least a dramedy.
Yeah, it really allude, like, I can't even begin to think about what that would be, writing a movie that's devoid of any joke, acting in a way without being funny at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it would even be by accident once. I feel like that would be a failure. If we wrote Winter's Bone, I think I would consider myself a failure.
Really? I think that won an Oscar, so
that would be cool.
That'd be a good acceptance speech.
If Winter's Bone didn't exist and we wrote Winter's Bone, do you think anybody would read it? It would ever get made?
No,
like,
fucking chance.
It would not happen.
Yeah. No way.
We wrote this pretty.
No one wants to read our Winter's Bone.
Even if it was Winter's Bone.
Yeah.
Could we write a movie so dramatically good that it would get made is another funny question.
Could we plagiarize a Winter's Bone and send it to an executive that hadn't seen it?
Yeah.
And would they like it?
Yeah. Is there the movie where like the Beatles didn't exist and some guy like was referencing the Beatles or something?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
So we'd do that, but with Winter's Bone. So that's it's good. Just a movie about two guys that wake up in a world and having seen Winter's Bone. But it doesn't exist. We got to fucking remember what, we just saw it last night. Let's just write it. Let's write this movie.
Winter's Bone doesn't, me and you find out Winter's Bone doesn't exist. We know we can write it, but you haven't seen it in a long time and I only saw it once. So we have to just try to recreate it.
We have this very muted secret power.
Yeah.
Now we're writing a comedy again.
That's right.
All right. A comedy, by the way, with a premise that already existed with the Beatles movie.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another break, come back, and we really got to answer some more questions. Otherwise, I'm going to win a fucking turdy.
I agree.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back. Brian Head writes, what's the most intimidating fruit?
It's got to be pineapple, right?
Like, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's really dangerous looking on the outside. Mm-hmm. And like once you slice it open and eat it, it's like it burns my tongue. Like it's acidy.
It's uncomfortable to eat. But tell me, what about a coconut?
A coconut's pretty hard too. That's a hairy, hard wooden nut.
You can't get into that by normal means. A pineapple, it's tough, but you can break that apart. A coconut, that shit, you will not, you need an axe to get through it. You could really maim yourself breaking into a coconut. And the fruit inside is not actually good. It's a bunch of fucking nasty water. And
do you like coconut water?
No. No.
Do you like coconut, like, flavored desserts?
I like the flakes. I will put some coconut flakes on.
You keep saying coconut. It's coconut. It's not cocoa.
Coconut.
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 I feel like I'm going crazy. I'm going cocoa nuts talking about it.
Yeah, no, I like coconut flakes.
Ryan asks, how do you manage the stress?
I'm not done.
Sure we are. We had pineapple, and then
because I think
had
the
backup.
Watermelon is a little intimidating.
No,
because it's heavy.
Watermelon is easy. It's fun.
It's not easy to cut summer. Your own watermelon, and there's a lot left over. So it's a little intimidating because it's unwieldy, and you don't know what to do with all of it.
I would posit that watermelon is one of the easiest, most fun fruits to enjoy. Oranges are harder than that. You got to fucking really pierce it without breaking the fruit.
Let's move on.
Ryan asks, Davos DFSMTG, how do you manage the stress and anxiety in your life? What a real question.
It really is.
How do I manage it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what does anybody do? They just sort of do it. Like, I don't know. I don't meditate. Mm-hmm. I guess I go for walks. I don't know. Is that stress management, anxiety management?
Yeah. I think everybody, or at least I do a lot of different things. There is not one catch-all that is like, I'm stressed, I'm going to do this. I think
there's medicine for anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, if you have like crippling anxiety or very severe anxiety, there's like actual medicine. But I get anxious and I get stressed. Remember when I had my panic attack?
Yeah.
So I think there's, throughout the day, there's different things that I do to help level any like mounting pressure. I think working out in the morning, runs, bike rides, things where you can like expel or expend energy. And sweat things out. That always feels really good.
Right.
I also manage my diet a little bit because I realized that one of the triggers for me feeling more anxious is like being hopped up on caffeine and not having eaten enough. So I moved down to one cup of coffee and I make sure to eat enough throughout the day.
So like you would get hangry / anxious, or hanxious for short.
Yeah. When I had my panic attack, I had had 2 cups of coffee and had not had lunch or breakfast. I hadn't eaten.
Wow. So it's
and
like a chemical.
Your brain
thing.
Is racing. Yeah. So I drink water. I eat. At night, I get like kind of blackout drunk or just like I try to be kind of like
that's a big one. Every night.
I get
every
like blasted.
Night to be blackout. It's so dangerous. It's not you managing your stress. That sounds like your stress is terrible.
It also helps to talk to people. It helps to talk to people is what I was going to say.
Yeah. Shout out BetterHelp. Or any help, really.
And a bath. Shower.
Oh, baths are great. Yeah.
Retail therapy. Sometimes you just buy yourself something.
I lose myself in sports. I will turn off my worrying brain and watch the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers play the LA Rams. I will watch the Thunder play the Bucks. It doesn't matter as long as children are playing a game. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it.
And you have cash riding on it, ideally.
Yes, ideally I'd have some scratch to make it interesting / Pinteresting, in addition to it being an anti-stressor, anti-anxiety medication.
That's good.
Jordan asks, what do I order at Bernie's? Is that still your go-to?
Yeah, no, it's slowed down because of the disease initially. Bernie's was closed for a long time, but it's open. That's my local. I love Bernie's.
So what do you get? What should this person get? What should Jordan get there?
You really can't go wrong. I think their burger is incredible. You want to get the mozz sticks for the table. Don't sleep on their vinegar chicken, as it were, though, as well.
Yeah. So. Unfortunate name.
What do you mean?
Just the phrase vinegar chicken doesn't inspire confidence in me.
Really? I mean, it inspires a lot of confidence in me. I love salt and vinegar. Give me anything,
yeah,
vinegary.
I guess it's the word vinegar that makes me think that I won't like it. Maybe you, I will.
Well, but if it sounds like you might not like it because it does have that vinegar tang.
Yeah.
That I like and maybe you don't.
What do you think is vinegar? Like, if I were to make it myself, how do you think I'm going about doing
it? It's pronounced vinegar.
Really?
Yeah.
A coconut vinegar. Yeah.
Vinegar is an extract.
Okay.
Of.
Yeah.
It's the vines. It's lemon. It's vines and rinds.
Interesting.
Of the lemon tree.
I would say it's like distilled. And again, I don't know what that means, but distilled salt water. So like it's salt water left out over time that it becomes almost thick and syrupy.
And let's look up what it actually is. Uh-huh. An aqueous solution of acetic acid and trace compounds that may include flavorings.
Okay.
So is it
it's an acid?
Is it man-made?
Or can only gods make vinegar? Is vinegar naturally occurring?
I thought vinegar was like something like olive oil or something.
Yeah. Like you like squeeze you just like, something yeah. and vinegar comes out. I think right. you just start with water and you do something to it, I would think.
Yeah. Pasteurized vinegar, varieties, vinegar uses. I mean, vinegar.
You can't search make your own?
Okay, I will do that. How to make vinegar, bitch.
That's really cool. You don't have to write bitch.
Yeah, it actually made the results super weird. There's a YouTube video that is 6.5 minutes long that has one of the most disgusting thumbnails of how to make vinegar at home. It does look like a bunch of orange rinds
wow.
in chlorine or something.
Cool. Guys, either making meth, vinegar, or a pool.
All right, a homemade vinegar recipe. 1.5 cups of dry red wine. 1/2 cup of raw apple cider vinegar. So it sounds like you already have vinegar.
Yeah, if one of the ingredients is vinegar, that's cheating.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Ingredients. Vinegar starter, a mother, either store-bought or homemade. So how do you make a fucking homemade vinegar mother?
Ugh, now we're just
12
going
fluid
down
ounces
the,
of wine
the
or distilled
hole.
Water. Or, okay. Yeah, it doesn't seem... Look, man, you can't do it.
You can't. It's make not happening. Yeah. What food cuisine you haven't tried yet that you would like to try someday? A food cuisine, an entire cuisine?
A food cuisine. That I would like to try someday?
Yeah. What's like the food that you eat with your hands, like Ethiopian food?
Yeah, Ethiopian. It's good. I love Ethiopian food.
That looks good.
That's like, I think Ethiopia. It's funny because it's like basically our vibe. There's no, you know, you just like basically get a ball of bread and dip it in different like sauces and goos. It's great.
Yeah. And the bread is good. The bread is uniquely good.
It's spongy. What's it called?
I think it's called vinegar bread.
Really?
Yeah. Vinegar.
Vinegar. Yeah, you're right. Injera? Jesus. Interesting. Okay. Anyway, that's one. The other one, yeah, I remember looking at when I was super into Anthony Bourdain, when I was watching all my Tony shows, he was on like the eastern coast of Africa and they were like cooking this delicious looking fish over a fire, and I would want to eat that. Just eat
East fucking classic East African fish, yeah. Cuisine.
Fish on a beach, man. That's my shit.
Yeah. I feel like you've had that before.
Yeah.
Growing up in Connecticut.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's definitely not the same.
Have you ever fished?
Yes, I have fished.
Where did you fish?
I fished a bunch. I mean, I was like into fishing when I was a kid. My parents bought me a fishing rod. I practiced my cast out in the yard.
Oh my God. I casted with a rod?
Yeah. I went to Brantford, the Long Island Sound, and I tossed her out.
Did you ever grab a fish and then cook it and eat it right then and there?
I've definitely done that later in life, where I like went on a fishing trip with like my friends or my brother's friends or my cousins.
I'm gonna get you a fishing rod for Thanksgiving, I want you to go deep sea, the kind where it's just you alone in that wooden house.
I'm not super into fishing now, so I
want to create a hobby for you where you would go to the house, the cold house.
You I don't
would
want dig you through to the create, snow. It's weird, right? That you would create a hobby for me. It's this weird form of control that you seem to be into that I'm actually against.
Want you to owe me one.
Yeah.
I want you to change your life.
I don't want you to think about my free time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just picture me always busy. How's that? Don't worry about me.
Picture me busy / rolling. All right, a few last questions. What's your phone wallpaper? Asked Eric Arman. It's pretty funny.
It's been the same one for a very long time, actually. It's just a picture of Half Dome from when I went to Yosemite. It was in 2016. And it's actually basically always been a nature picture of Yosemite.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was one that I took on a trip with my brother back in like 2011. And then I went there again with Jillian and I replaced it with another newer photo.
Mine is Pam Anderson holding cash to her tits. And on the bottom it reads, "Be the man because you are the man." And guess what she's straddling? A Lamborghini / Ferrari. And in the background,
straddling it?
Yeah. Her legs, I think, are broken in this condition.
Yeah, they'd have to.
And in the background is a fucking volcano and an eagle's fucking it. And at the top it says, "Are you the man yet? Say you are."
It's a lot of text. Also weird, because if it's at the top, you'd like read that first. So it'd say, "Are you the man yet? Say that you are." And then later, as your eyes scroll down, you see Pam. Yeah. Then it says, "Be the man."
Yeah.
Like,
actually, mine is this picture of Avital and Marty playing basketball at HeadGum.
Yes. I'm glad. That's a much better background than it was before, because it was just a photo of your front door.
Yeah,
you had my joke that it was your home screen.
That's right. My home screen was my home screen.
Right. And then I changed it. Which actually doesn't work, because it was your lock screen.
Yeah, which is why I changed it to a picture of a lock. And I made my home screen my home screen.
What is your unlocked screen? That's what it's really all about.
It's just the Bank of America logo to remind me that.
That you owe tens of thousands of dollars on a bad parlay.
It's a mortgage payment late due, and it's sort of a reminder for me.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking of funny lock screen. Yeah, the lock screen is your vaccination pass. So if anybody ever asks, you just sort of lift up your phone and it's there. It's kind of sad to see, but it's smart. Convenient.
I added mine to my wallet.
Yeah, I was able to do that recently.
If you add it to the wallet, it's just a double tap. So that's pretty streamlined.
Double tap is nice, but what if it was, you know?
Yeah, just a straight up lock screen. But then you'd have to clear off all your notifications. Like, imagine you go to a bar, you walk there, they ask, show me your vax, and then you hold up your phone and then you just like show all of your like you know, badge alerts. You don't want to see that. You have to clear. It's it's actually less convenient than the double tap.
My alerts are pretty embarrassing too.
Yeah.
Overdue.
Right.
Overdue bill.
All of them showing up over the be the man. Are you the man yet?
Do you want to buy a new Nintendo fucking wall mount? Like just weird fucking things that I signed up for months ago coming back to haunt my ass.
Blocking Pam.
A blockchain notification. Lyft. I don't even use Lyft that much anymore, but there's sort of somebody signed me up to be a driver. So I get like pings that like people
you
in the area.
You can get signed up to be a driver. That's awesome.
It's messed up.
It's a good prank.
All right. Do you have any final questions that you see? First international place you'll visit post COVID? I think we answered that one before. Exo Jupiter.
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know what it is though. I think I said Iceland. I've been craving Iceland, but also I kind of want to go to Italy. So maybe there.
But now COVID is fucking worse in Europe than it's ever been. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
But they should be coming here.
Are the cases big or are the hospitalizations big? Because that's really what it's all about. The vaccine.
Yeah.
If the vaccines are working, the cases can go up as long as everyone's doesn't die.
Yeah. I think the cases are record, like highest it's ever been. But then places that have been vaccinated is like the hospitalizations and the cases have uncoupled. But then there are some countries that are like us where it's not enough. It's just not enough, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to Orlando post-COVID.
Just bring a bunch of doses. See if you can just jab people while you're there.
You must be this vax to get on the rides. Last question. Do you have anything?
Yes. When are you releasing your own crypto and NFTs?
Oh, God. Way never. Maybe never. I don't know. It seems like a really hard / dangerous and controversial thing to get into is like creating your own NFT and crypto.
Yeah. We joked about doing it when we got the rights to Jake and Amir back because there really wouldn't be anything funnier to me than making One Almond an NFT that is actually worth something.
One of one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a single One Almond NFT that somebody could buy and sell if necessary.
Right. That's what I want. That's what I want to see.
All right. That's it. What was it? 27 questions up, 27 down. The perfect game.
Something.
Congratulations.
Like that. Yeah. Good on you.
Happy Thanksgiving to those who celebrated. Happy holidays that are coming up. Happy December. We fucking made it. The end of 2021. I had to like think about what year ended. I'm like, is it 2021? That seems kind of weird that it's going to be 2022 soon.
Yeah. I think it's weird because like a lot of people, you know, you think that not a lot happened, but a lot actually did happen. We just have a weird way of processing things because of all of this.
Yeah.
Like I don't think
pandemic and election are the two big benchmarks and everything else in between is like sort of amorphous blob.
If we all sat down and like made a list, you'd realize that a lot of shit happened and 2021 might have even been a nice year for you.
Whoa. So
remember to do that.
Okay. Write down the good stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think 2022, that's going to be the year. That's like everyone was hoping that 2021 would be the year, but like 2022 is definitely going to be
every year is going to. Yeah. There's always going to be ups and downs. 2020 had more downs than ups for sure.
To be sure.
Let's just hope for the normal downs and ups in 2022. Doesn't have to be great. Just has to be fine. Has to be fine.
I'll take fine. I'll take fine in a heartbeat. I really like the opening theme song, which was the Kodachrome
I know you did. Parody. It's your favorite song.
So let's play it again. William Atkinson, Big Man Billy from England. Thank you. Thank you for the Kodachrome. Thank you guys for the questions. If you got your own theme songs or questions, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Still making new videos every week on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA. Mm-hmm. Making new Jake and Amir episodes on at jakeandamir.com. That'll forward you to our YouTube channel, so check those out as well.
Correct.
Thanksgiving to you guys for listening to all these episodes, watching all the stuff. We appreciate it.
We sure do.
And we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
What if I told you I was in love with the chipmunk? And the guy who goes by Josh the Pinch. If I were you, liquid nice, be my lover. Shmoo will meet me under the covers and teach me rule 69 at a rave. Oh yeah, I need help with these feelings, in need of some advice you can say. Guess I'll email if I were you, show Gmail today.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.